useless. Like, how can God ever use me? I've got good news for you. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So now there's no more excuses. Amen? Hallelujah. You guys ready for the word this morning? Well, we're beginning a brand new series today. And I'm simply calling it Honoring Authority. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking about honor. And God wants us to honor, to give honor to whom honor is due. And we as believers, we're supposed to show honor properly, all right? And we're going to go into that today and how we are to, what does it mean to honor or to give honor? And we're supposed to especially honor those in authority. Now, every one of us has an authority over us. Amen? We all have to deal with authority in our lives. And of course, God, He is the highest authority. And He is worthy of the highest honor. And we're going to look at what really does that mean to honor God. And you know, the way we show honor is through submission and service. So today I want you to develop a spirit of honor. Amen? To live in an honorable way. And there are things that we can do that God will honor. And there are things that we can do that He won't honor. Amen? So are you ready to get into this morning? If you are, say, I'm ready. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to use this as our text as we get into this word. And in verse 7, he makes the statement, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. How many know that if we have to pay taxes, don't we? Did you know that Jesus paid taxes? Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Then he said in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves one another fulfills the law. So really, honor is about love. How we honor people, how we honor God, how we honor authority is really how we think about love. So, we're going to look at this today. Now, what is honor? The word, there are some words that mean the same thing: integrity, decency, uprightness, scrupulousness, character, nobility. It means to show respect, admiration, to esteem, to regard, to reverence, or to pay tribute to. So, you know, when the Bible says to honor, you know, we're supposed to respect, we're supposed to regard, we're supposed to esteem those things. And it's what they're due. Amen? And there are people to honor, and then there are people not to honor. And as we get into this further, we're going to look at it. You know, honor in the eyes of God is on the basis of rank, reputation, status, or character. It means to show respect in appropriate ways. When we honor God, what does it mean to honor God? It means we worship Him. It means we respect His word. It means we practice His word. If you want to honor God's word, the best way to honor it is to do it. Amen? God didn't just give us a Bible so that we could put it on a shelf and open it every once in a while. But in the Bible contains the living word of God. These are words that God breathed. These are words that came from God's heart. This Bible is alive. Amen? And it is practical. You can actually do what the Bible says you can do. You can have what the Bible says you can have. You can be what the Bible says you can be. Amen? Even though these words are written down, these words were spoken by God to holy men. They were inspired by God. These words are God-breathed. There's life. Jesus said, "My word produces life." And then to honor God means to please God. You want to please God, don't you? And, you know, there are different people in authority. Parents are in authority. And the Bible tells us to honor our father and our mother. To show them esteem. Not just to respect them, but to help them when they need it. Amen? Young people, are you listening? Amen. There's going to be times when your parents need your help. And part of honoring them is making yourself available when they need your help. That's honoring them. And that's what the Bible, it's a commandment. Kings and employers are to be honored. Do you honor your boss? Or do you speak bad about your boss? Uh-oh. Pastor, you're touching on a nerve. Yeah, I know. I think when the body of Christ doesn't show honor, things begin to fall apart. When we don't honor God, our lives will fall apart. When we don't honor authority, God will be against us. Church leaders are to be honored. Wisdom is to be honored. Open to correction is to be honored. Uh-oh. Pastor, you're about on my last nerve. That's okay. It's going to get better. Do you realize that when someone is not open to correction, it means that you think you're always right? That is a place of pride. To think that we never make a mistake or we never miss it. That's prideful. Father, I thank you for your help today. Humility is to be honored. Peacefulness is honored. Lowliness is honored. People who do good are to be honored. Okay? Now, when a person has the spirit of honor, they're going to demonstrate these things. A person who has a true spirit of honor possesses a spirit and a mind that is fearless to speak, to act, and to stand up for God. When you're a person that has a spirit of honor, you're fearless. Why? Because you honor God, and you know that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you one of power, love, and a sound mind. So when you have a true spirit of honor, you're fearless. You're not afraid to stand up for what is right. You know, it's a tragedy when bad things are happening and good men do nothing about it. And if we want to change the direction of our country, guess what? You got to get involved. You can't just sit on the sideline and point a finger and hope things are going to change. Because when you operate in the true spirit of honor, you're going to be fearless to speak, act, and stand up for God. Another thing, a person who has a true spirit of honor avoids selfish interests and they put others above themselves. When you have a true spirit of honor, it's not about you. Uh-oh. I've just knocked some people off their pedestal. When it comes to honor, it's not about you. The focus is not on you, it's on the other person. You've got to be willing to not be in the spotlight all the time. A lot of people like the spotlight of preaching, but it's the behind the scenes that they don't see. You know, this is only a small percentage. You know, many of you don't know, but with the breakfast and stuff, I was at the church 12 hours yesterday. Because we did the breakfast, but then I spent the rest of the time studying. And getting, because for me, it's a lot harder when I do a new subject. Usually the first initial study, it takes a lot of time. Because I'm a teacher, I admire the prophetics. When they don't have to prepare notes, they just get up and speak. God didn't make me a prophetic person. He gave me a teaching anointing. But I appreciate the prophetic. I just know that I'm not prophetic. I'm a teacher, so that's how I do things. Okay? A person who has a true spirit of honor rejects corruption and compromise and seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you're tempted to compromise, you reject it. When someone comes at you and they want to corrupt you, you reject it. Why? Because you have a true spirit of honor. Why? Why would you reject corruption? Because you want to honor God. A person who honors God fears God. That means they do what's right in his sight even when no one's looking. A person who has a true spirit of honor demonstrates passionate and enthusiastic love for God. You might even be called a fanatic, a radical. Oh my goodness, he's a radical. What does that mean? He loves Jesus more than you. And he's not afraid to express his love. He's always talking about Jesus. He's always acting like Jesus. Come on, get off your Jesus. No, I'm not going to get off of it. Why? Because I have an enthusiastic and passionate love for God. That's what a person who has a true spirit of honor has. And if none of these fit you, guess what? We can pray for you and God can change it. Amen. So I don't want you to get upset, say, oh, that's not me. No, say, look, I can improve on that area. I can become better in that area. Amen? Say, I can be better. I can be better. Look at someone close to you and say, you can be better. A person who has a true spirit of honor adheres to and lives by a high moral code of integrity. They live by a code. Samson, before he got his haircut, he said he never allowed himself to get a haircut until he was deceived. Why? That was his code. John never drank any strong drink. He lived out in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. Why? That was his code. His purpose was to introduce the Messiah. That's it. And he did it. Amen? Because he lived by a code. Jesus lived by a code. He said, there's no darkness in me. He said, I must be about my Father. When he was 12 years old, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. If you haven't been about the Father's business, it's time to get busy with the Father's business. Some of us are too busy with other business. Band-Aids will be passed out at the end of the service. A person who has a true spirit of honor is not afraid or ashamed to perform their duty relating to God and man. They do what has to be done. Amen? A person with a true spirit of honor is a servant. They're willing and able. They're saying, here I am, God, use me. You know, when the prophet said that he was making himself available to God, he didn't say, God, use me here or use me here. He said, use me however you want. Amen? A person with a true spirit of honor, they're not afraid to perform their duty relating to God and man. A person who has a true spirit of honor will give lavishly and generously to the kingdom of God without being prideful. You know, some people want to do something for God and they say, look what I did, look what I did. Did you see what I did? Look at what I did. You just lost your blessing. You know, if you're seeking praise from man, then your reward is this. Attaboy, good job. Amen? And you know what? We've all done that. We've all done things to get the praise of men because we're creatures of praise. Amen? But set your sights higher and let God exalt you. And we're going to look at examples as we go along this. Sorry, thanks for Lester letting me use you as an example. One who has a true spirit of honor will live and walk in humility. Now, much has been said about humility, and a lot of the church world think that a humble person is poor, broke, and not able to do anything. That has nothing to do with humility. Humility means who you trust in solely. When you trust in God, when you lean entirely on God, that's humility. Amen? Amen? And there's a scripture that we'll look at, maybe not today, but it says, with humility comes riches and honor. A person with a true spirit of honor will not talk to others in a way that is harsh. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about our tongue and about our communication and how we, you know, really honor is really how you relate to people. And how you relate to people is how you relate to God. Sometimes we don't think that it's connected. Well, if I treat this person bad, it's not going to affect my life. No, that means you're going to treat God bad then. Because people are made in God's image, and it is like this. A true person of honor. You know, Jesus never spoke a harsh word. I mean, you might think that he spoke a little harshly to the Pharisees. He called them brood of vipers and snakes. But you know what? They were hypocrites. And when a person has a religious spirit, they need a spiritual slap to bring them into reality. A person who has a true spirit of honor will demonstrate the strength and character of being a godly example. Would you want people to follow you all day? Would you want people to go where you go to see what you see, to do what you do? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Whether you know it or not, we have someone that does that. His name is God. Called the Holy Spirit. He sees everything, knows everything, and he's watching everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we expose ourselves to. Amen? Amen. Now, let's get into the heart of today. How do we become a person that has this spirit of honor? How do we show honor? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. I'm really excited about this. But I know that in preparing this, you know, God was convicting my own heart of some things. Amen? You know, one thing about preaching, it benefits everybody, including the preacher. Amen? So, you know, God's word is designed to lift us up and to heal things that are broken and to straighten things that are crooked and to build things that are low and to tear down things that are too high. Amen? So that you have a straight path. The gospel, the kingdom of God is on a straight path. It's a narrow path. You know, the Bible says wide is the way of destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. And God gives us a choice as to which path we're going to take. Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, you know, there's some people that turn away from the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? The Sabbath is the holy day. It's a day of rest. It's a day that we dedicate worship. And guess what? Every day can be a Sabbath because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? The Sabbath is not just a particular day anymore, because how many know that Jesus did great things on the Sabbath? And the world, the religious world, got mad at him. He would heal on the Sabbath and they would criticize him. They didn't care about the person getting healed. They cared about the broken man-made law. From doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So what is he saying here? Number one is, don't do your own thing, especially on God's day, amen? When you dedicate time to participate with God's people and in God's plan and to hear God's word, you know what? It takes a commitment sometimes. Because how many know that things in life can come up and they want to interfere with that, with your time with God? Anything that takes your time away from God is not always a good thing. Amen? Now, hear me. There are circumstances where things come up, okay? But that's not, I'm not talking about the special circumstances, but he said here, people who turn away their foot from the Sabbath. You might, let's just put it in English, they quit going to church. I know a lot of people like that. They don't think they need to come to church. Well, you know, I thought about that. And here's what God spoke to me. Jesus is the head of the church. He bought the church with his blood. He puts members in the church as it pleases him. If Jesus is the head of the church, don't you think he'd be very much interested in the church? Now, the only perfect church is in heaven. There is no church on this earth that's never going to make a mistake, never going to miss it, never going to do something that you don't like. If you want to go to a perfect church, go meet Jesus. So when we show honor, you've got to be open to other ways of doing things. You ever hear the phrase, my way or the highway? That's a person who's not open to, do you know that there's more than one way to do something, to get something done? And someone may come and do it a different way, but what's more important, the way they do it or the results that are produced? If they can get the same results doing it a different way, shouldn't you be excited? Or you get mad because they didn't do it my way. They didn't do it my way, so I'm going to get mad. You don't have a spirit of honor. Mm-mm-mm. A person, how you show honor is you don't seek to please yourself. You give up your opinion and you speak God's words. He said, don't speak your words. Isn't it tempting when something bad happens that we want to give people a piece of our mind? It's tempting, isn't it? And, you know, that's just the devil trying to get you into the flesh. You know, there were times when Jesus didn't speak to people, or he didn't answer their questions, or he answered their questions with a question. Why? Because he came on a mission. He didn't get wrapped up in the devil's... He avoided every trap that the devil set for him. And then you have to delight yourself in God, and he will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. That's how we show honor. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Well, I think today people are going to leave either saying, oh me, or amen. John chapter 5. And let's go down to... verse 20. Well, let's go to verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Wow, who was Jesus honoring? He was not putting confidence in himself or in his abilities. But what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever he does, those things the Son does likewise. So here Jesus is deferring to God. He said, I do what I see the Father do, and I don't do anything else. So he kept his attention on God. He kept his focus on God. Okay? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. So look at the relationship. Jesus is looking to the Father, and the Father is showing him what he needs to do, what he needs to say, where he needs to go. How do you know? You know, when Jesus ended up in Samaria, you know what he told his disciples? It's necessary for me to go to Samaria. Why? He must have saw the Father say, you need to go to Samaria. And when he got there, little did he, you know, he had a divine appointment. And he met a person that opened up that city, the woman at the well. That was a divine appointment because Jesus saw his Father go talk about going to Samaria. So Jesus went to Samaria because he saw his Father go to Samaria. Okay? And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. And then he says in verse 24, verily I say unto you, he that believes my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So how do we honor the Son? We study the word, to hear it, to know it, to do it, and to hide it in your heart. You honor the Son by how you handle the word. Amen? Listen, you can't just rely on the screen. You've got to be able to get into the book, and you've got to know it for yourself. The screen is just a tool to help. But you know what? Look at it. It only shows you one scripture at a time. Amen? But there might be more on the page that God wants to speak to you, and if you're not in the book, it's going to be hard for God to work in your life. Amen. I encourage you to become a student of the Word. Everyone that has a Bible, hold up your Bible. Hold it up to your heart. Say, I love this Word. Say, this is God's love letter to me. This is God speaking to me. I love his word. Amen. You got to fall in love with the word. You know, as a young man in my late teens, I got saved when I was 12. I backslid when I was about 17. started going to parties with my friends because the friends I had weren't Christian. Because the church that I was a part of, they left. Because they were struggling financially, and so the pastor and his family, they moved to a different place. So I was kind of a sheep without a shepherd. So I started to get into some things that I shouldn't have gotten into. But you know what brought me out of that? I had fallen in love with the Word. And my love for the Word overcame my 2 years of disobedience and rebellion. Because when I was 19, I remember going in, we had a bookstore in our mall called The Love Shop. The Love Shop was a Christian bookstore. It's owned by a pastor whom I know. He was actually the associate pastor at the church that came later in my area. And now he pastors at another place in Illinois. I've preached for him, and I know him and his wife. And I bought my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I've since now had 5 or 6 of them because they've literally fallen apart. But you as a believer in Christ, you have got to fall in love with the Word. That's how you honor the Son. Because Jesus is the Word. The Word and Jesus are synonymous. So if you want to honor the Son, you got to honor His Word. Amen? How you treat the Word will determine how God will treat you. I'll let that sink in for just a little bit. All right? Go down to verse 41 of the same chapter. Jesus is saying here, he said, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. There's a lot of people that don't receive the Lord. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because everything that Jesus did fulfilled the law. Jesus was the epitome of the fulfillment of the law that God wrote through Moses. And if they would have really known the law, they would have really seen Jesus. But they didn't. For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So what is he saying here? If you can't, you can either receive the word or reject the word. Okay? If you receive the word, you will not honor yourself, but you will allow God to honor you. It's called faith. How many know that sometimes God will cause you to walk into something unknown, unfamiliar territory? You know? When I left Illinois to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I had never been to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, no, I can't say that because I did take a bus trip there like about a month before with the church that I went to. That was my first time. But when God called me there, I got there late because I went to New Zealand the month of July. School started in August. So I didn't have a whole lot of time. I was in Tulsa by myself for the first 6 months. I didn't have any roommate. It was just me and an apartment. And when my parents left, I laid on my floor. I had the only furniture I had was a folding card table and 2 folding chairs. I had a TV that sat on a box, and I had a cot that my feet hung over about 6 inches. But you know what? Sometimes you got to be willing to make a sacrifice to go where God sends you and trust Him to bless you. Amen. It may not always be easy when you first get going. You might experience trouble, and you can't say, oh, God, why did you call me to Tulsa and only give me this stuff? Would you trust God? Amen. Suck it up. I trusted God because I was in the unknown. And really, those first 6 months, it was just me, God, Rhema, and my work. I didn't even have a whole lot of friends. I would drive around Broken Arrow I worked at a grocery store. Bill's Discount. And And there I met some close friends. But you know what? When you honor God, that's what you got to do. You either receive the word or reject the word. Amen. Trust God to honor you. Don't look for honor for men. If God uses men to honor you, let him do that. Where does promotion come from? It comes from God, right? God will move on people. Do you realize when Joseph received the answer to Pharaoh's dream and he gave the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, he did not say, Pharaoh, pick me, I'll be the one. He simply gave Pharaoh the information that was given to him, and Pharaoh said, Joseph said, you got to find a man that can do this for you. And Pharaoh said, what man can we find that has the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh picked Joseph. Joseph could have said, look, I'll give you the information if you give me a position. But he didn't do that. He humbled himself. The Bible says when you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he will exalt you in due time. Amen? There's a difference when God exalts you or you exalt yourself. Just ask Satan. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 49. This is how we show honor. Okay? This is really developing the spirit of honor in our life. Verse 49, Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees. And he said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Hallelujah. And what is Jesus saying here? Don't seek your own glory, and don't seek to make yourself look good in the eyes of others. You know, a lot of times we want other people to look at us, and we want to make things look good on the surface when they're not good underneath the surface. We can hide things. We as people, we're good at hiding things. We're good at hiding pain. We're good at hiding our hurts. You know, but Jesus, he said, I don't seek my own glory. But if you keep my saying, so how do we show honor? It's not about us. Take yourself out of the equation. Don't seek your own glory. Seek God's glory. Seek to glorify God. And in doing so, God will return the favor. Do you realize when you honor God, he'll honor you? He told Samuel, he said, those who honor me, I honor, but those who despise me, I lightly esteem them. When people despise, listen, God doesn't honor a fool. God doesn't honor wickedness. He exposes it. He doesn't honor it. There's a difference. So how you show honor is you don't seek your own glory. Don't toot your own horn. Amen? Go to verse 54. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. But if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Trust God to honor you. You know, just keep his word. You walk with God and let him take care of the details. You know, I learned a hard lesson in my life. When I realized that I was called to the ministry, sometimes you have a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom. Amen? And I was at a place, and I was getting frustrated because I didn't feel like I was being used like I should. I could do better than that. And I talked with my friends, and we came up with phrases like, play me or trade me, use me or lose me. Little did I know how prideful that was. Because like I said, I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of wisdom. And every time that I would try to promote myself, I would distance myself from others. And guess what? Every time I fell flat on my face. And God had to give me that test 3 times before I got my attitude right. Thank God for grace. My first attitude test, I failed miserably. My second attitude test, I got a little bit better, but I still failed. Finally, my third attitude test, I'm getting a clue. See, now I had a little bit more wisdom. I still had my zeal, but I got a little bit more wisdom with it. And when I said, okay, God, I'm going to let you do this thing. I've been trying to do it. I've been beating my head against the wall. I've been trying to promote myself. I've been trying to do it on my own. I'm going to let you do it. Which means I had to endure some things. And my attitude was, it's okay. Let those things happen. It's fine. And guess what? I passed the test. And it wasn't until I passed that attitude test that God could work in my life. And he elevated me to the place where I am right now. If I hadn't passed that attitude test, I wouldn't be standing here today. But I was trying to do it on my own. I was trying to do it myself. That's not how you show honor. You got to take yourself out of the equation. You got to take your focus off of yourself and put it on others. You got to prefer others above yourself. Amen? You know, part of showing honor is rejoicing with those who rejoice. When God does something good for Brother Les, I just say, woohoo, yes, awesome. But maybe Elliot is weeping. I need to just sit and weep with him. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's showing honor. See, honor is really how you care for people. It's really an attitude of the heart. And it's shown in our submission and our service. You can tell when someone has an honoring heart or they're just trying to, it's a self-promoting heart. You can kind of see it. It's distasteful. Amen? The focus is always on them and not on the bigger picture. So just trust God to honor you. Can you trust God? You know? Can you listen, Joseph was thrown into the pit, then he was falsely accused, then he was thrown into the prison, but guess what? He kept trusting God. What happened? God promoted him. Because through humility comes honor. Amen? Are you learning something about honor today? Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 26. Jesus was talking about unless a kernel of wheat fall and die, it's not going to produce anything. And in verse 26 here, well, look at verse 25. He that loves his life shall what? Uh-oh. That means a person who loves their life is a person who's promoting their life, self-preservation. They want to promote themselves. They want to exalt themselves. You're going to lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto death. If you hate your life in this world, what world are you living for? You're living for the eternal kingdom, amen? Because guess what? When you're living for God, you're not of this world. You're just a person who's passing by. You're here for a moment, but guess what? We didn't come from here, and we're not going to spend eternity here. We're going somewhere else. It's called heaven. It's called where the streets of gold are, where there's light forever, where there's no tear, no sorrow, no pain. And he says in verse 26, if a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. So part of showing honor is to serve God and follow him. Okay? Pick up your cross. God honors those who serve and follow him. Say, serve and follow. There's two elements. Sometimes in the church, there's a lot of followers, but not a lot of servants. They're following, but they're not serving. You've got to follow and serve. The way you show honor is serve. Amen? God's equipped every one of us with talents, gifts, and abilities. Why? Is that just for you? Your gifts and talents are not for you. They're for other people. Why? Because other people don't have what you have. So they need your gift. They need your abilities. They need you to function in your gifts so that they can be blessed. And then guess what? They have what you don't have. And when we share our gifts with each other, what? There is joy and happiness. Why? Because we're receiving what we don't have, and we're giving what we have, and the two come together, and they form a machine. All the teeth are hitting one another, and the machine is running smoothly. So you got to serve God. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And he compares someone who has a spirit of honor and someone who doesn't. And let's go to verse 5. Romans 2, 5. But after your hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of judgment and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good. For the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. So what is he saying here? He's saying that a dishonorable person is a hard-hearted and lifts himself up. A dishonorable person does not repent and stores up God's wrath for the day of judgment. I don't want to be a person that's storing up God's wrath for the day of judgment. Amen? A dishonorable person is self-seeking and does not obey the truth. But now he compares the honorable. An honorable person is patient and continues to do good. Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap what? If you faint not. How many people, they start to do good, but they stop. They faint, they get tired. Oh, I'm tired of doing this. I'm not seeing any return. Keep doing good. Keep doing good. Guess what? Why? Because you're sowing. That's what honor does. What does love take into account the wrongs done to it? No. Does love bear up under anything? Does love ever fail? If love never fails, then one who shows true honor doesn't fail either. Because really, showing honor is showing love. Amen? So a person who honors is patient. You exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Say, I'm patient. Let's say it again. Say, I'm patient. Then he said, an honorable person does what is right and good and is rewarded by God with honor. So when you're doing good, who's going to reward you? Right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sometimes when you're doing good to one person, that person is not going to be the one to return the good to you. It's going to be someone else. Because you're sowing good here, and God's going to send someone across your path to do what you did for him. That's what it is. So when you honor, God will honor you. Go to Romans 12. I'm almost done. Are you with me? Okay. This is almost the mother lode Okay? Romans 12 is like the mother load. Okay? Look at verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation is hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. See, I even got ahead of myself. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So what do we have to do? We have to have an unhypocritical love. What does that mean? We have to do what we say. If you want to show honor, you do what you say. Amen? Is your word your bond? Now, if it's not, how can we change it? How can we become better? Amen? God wants to help you come better. He wants to lift you higher. Amen? If you haven't been showing honor, you can start showing honor today. Amen? Allow God's Holy Spirit to touch you and to cleanse you. Abhor that which is evil. That means hate evil. It's okay to hate evil. Cling to that which is good. Hate evil. Stick with the good. I'm sticking to good like glue. That's what he's saying. This is how we show honor. Be affectionate to one another. You know what's lacking a lot in the body of Christ is affection. You know what's lacking in the families? Affection. It's a root. And today we need to pull that root up. Be affectionate to one another. That's warm. That's kind. That's loving. That's gentle. Not harsh. If you're not an affectionate person, meditate on this verse. And you can become an affectionate person. Loving, caring, friendly. Give preference to one another. Choose others before you choose yourself. Amen? You know, Fiona and I, we like to share meals. So whenever we eat out, we each get something different. And we share. That way we can taste different things. And I always try my best to give her the best part. I'll give her the biggest piece or the best part, you know. And she tries to do the same for me. Why? Because we're affection to one another. But you know what? We need to do that as the body of Christ. You know, we need to be friendly. Why do you think we have fellowship time? We call it meet, greet, and eat. All we do is we supply the atmosphere, but it's up to you to build the relationships. Amen? And if you don't take advantage of building relationships, you're missing out on something wonderful. Christianity is a relationship with God. It's based on fellowship. Amen? From the beginning of Jesus' ministry until the end, he had fellowship with people. Sinners and saints. Jesus ate with sinners? Yeah, because they need help. Sometimes you got to have dinner with sinner to win them. You can have a winner dinner. Then he said to be diligent, industrious, conscientious, thorough. How many know we got to be diligent as believers? That's part of honoring. That's how we show honor. Serve the Lord. Be fervent in spirit, enthusiastic, passionate, zealous. Come on, have we got some enthusiastic, passionate people in here today? You're not just here to sleep. You're here to hear the living word of God. Let's stand up for just a minute. Let's stand up and give God praise. Let's give God some passion and some zeal and some excitement. Hallelujah. God is good. He's greatly to be praised. All right, you can sit down. I just need to stretch a little bit. See what a... Enthusiasm is contagious, isn't it? Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Remember, I did a whole message about hope. Rejoice in hope. Expectation. This is how we show honor. Be patient in tribulation. When you're in trouble, be patient. Why? God's a very present help in trouble. He's right. He'll be right there with you. But you got to trust him. Sometimes you will go into the fire, but you don't have to be burned. Continue steadfast in prayer. Boy, that's one way that we can honor God, is continue steadfast in prayer. Amen. Give to the needs of the saints. And from time to time, we have saints within our midst that have needs. And you know what? You guys are awesome in giving to the needs of the saints. Every saint that has had a need in our midst, has that need's been met. Praise God. But that's how we show honor. Amen? If you want God to meet your needs, shouldn't you help someone else meet their needs? Amen. That's, once again, sowing and reaping. Okay. Entertain people in your home. Be hospitable. You want to build relationships? Say, hey, come on over. Amen? And one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, then I'm done. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Notice how they showed honor. He's saying to them, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. What was he in afflictions, necessities, and distresses? What was he? How patient? Much patience. Everybody say, much patience. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So they gave no offense in anything. All right, verse 7 says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. How many know that the people who wrote this book went through some things? Paul went through some things. He wrote some of those books from prison. Think about that. He wrote some of the Gospels from prison. Amen? So, do you have a spirit of honor today? Are you a person that you honor God? You honor others? Amen? God wants to honor those who honor him. We have to increase in our honor. We have to honor authority, because it's really your lifeline. You know, one of the people in the Gospels who had the greatest faith was someone who understood authority, the Roman centurion. Jesus declared, he said, I've not found so great faith in all of Israel, because of someone who understood what it meant to honor authority. And his honoring authority, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about his servant. He told Jesus, he said, I'm not worthy that you should come over my house, but only speak the word. He honored that authority. And because he honored authority, he received a miracle. Amen? So how many of you need a miracle today? If you need prayer, part of honoring God is saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Amen? God wants to help you. He longs to help you. And only his anointing can destroy yokes and remove burdens. Amen? And if you're here today and you need prayer, your honoring God is coming up, yielding yourself, and receiving. Amen? You're a receiver because God has what you need. So if you're here today and you need prayer, I want to pray for you. Amen? And hallelujah. Let's play the Revelation song. It was the last set in our worship today. And as that song's coming, and if you want prayer, just want you to come up and yield to God. Amen? And God will meet you where you are because he loves you. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. And you know, maybe you just need to adjust some things. Maybe you just need to have God correct some things. Maybe your honor knob was a little fuzzy. And you just need God to correct. He'll do that, you know. He's a loving father. And he knows how to meet you where you are. He's going to give you a moment to respond. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise that your Holy Spirit is going forth right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, you're raising us up, Father, to be a people of honor, those who honor you and who honor authority and who honor others, Father. And we just give you thanks and praise for moving in this place, moving on each and every one of our hearts, Father. And for anyone that needs a touch from you, Master, Lord, we just invite them to come and to receive the grace of God. Come and receive God's grace. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. We bless your holy name, Lord. Take a look at how you honor people. If you need to listen to this message again, listen to it online, get the CD. Get it in you. We've got to release the spirit of honor. When we release honor, it elevates our life. When we honor God, he'll defeat every foe. He'll protect you in the harshest circumstance. When you release honor in your life, he'll open closed doors. He'll cause ways to appear that you didn't know were there. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." You'll walk out of danger and you'll walk into blessing when you release honor in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming out today. Let's continue to honor the Lord. Have a great time of fellowship and enjoy your day.